Okay, are you ready for this?
I am. Hit me with it.
This one is wild.
Okay.
We're talking near-death experiences.
Okay.
Irish royalty.
Huh. Interesting.
Abstract photography.
Okay. I'm intrigued already.
And rope lights.
Rope life.
All connected to one man's story.
Wow.
It's like a, I don't know, it's like
Okay.
a mystical mystery, but with a historical twist.
I am so in. Like, what's fascinating to me is how you get all of these, like, kind of disparate elements, and they all weave together into this like incredible journey of self-discovery for this one man.
Totally. And we are uncovering it all through excerpts from his personal account called, get this, awakening.pdf.
Okay, straight to the source.
Yes. It's a mix of personal journal entries, historical research, philosophical musings, you name it.
It's like the universe is giving us a backstage pass to this one man's mind-blowing experiences. And it really shows us how these individual journeys can illuminate like hidden truths and challenge our assumptions about ourselves and the world around us, you know?
100%. So buckle up because this story takes some twists and turns, but it all starts, you ready for this, with a breakup.
Don't they all?
Okay, but not just any breakup. This one is a doozy. Our guy's partner of 15 years leaves him for his best friend.
Oh
And
no.
to make matters worse, it all goes down during a series of total lunar eclipses. You know, those blood moons?
Right. Talk about a recipe for disaster. Well, actually, if we're connecting this to the bigger picture here, you know, these big celestial events are often linked to like upheaval,
All
transformation,
right.
like on a personal and a collective level.
You think?
Yeah. It's like the universe is signaling a shift is coming.
Okay, I'm already getting chills. It's like the universe is whispering to this guy, like, hey, pay attention. This is a turning point. And get this, the synchronicities don't stop there. Shortly after the breakup, our guy is at Oakland Cemetery in Atlanta with his dad.
Okay.
It's Father's Day, and
What?
they're visiting his great-great-great-great-grandfather's grave.
Okay.
And guess what's inscribed on the headstone?
What?
James Lynch died 16 May 1899.
No way.
The same date as his birthday.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding.
Oh.
Talk about what are the chances?
Seriously. You know, those kinds of synchronicities are actually more common than we might think, but they're easy to miss if you aren't paying attention. But
Right.
when you do notice them, it's like, whoa, what is the universe trying to tell me here?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like this date is important. And remember, I mentioned Irish royalty.
Right.
Well, this is where things get really interesting. So he's at the cemetery, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he meets the sexton, introduces himself as a Lynch.
Okay.
And the sexton's jaw drops. He says, "You're a Lynch. Did you know you're as close to Irish royalty as this town gets?"
Whoa. Here's where the story takes a sharp turn into like ancestral connections, hidden family legacies.
Right. And it makes you wonder, like, what's in your own family history? You know, what stories are buried back there?
Right.
And why the secrecy? Why didn't his father ever share any of this?
Yeah, why keep it hidden?
According to the sexton, his ancestors, the Lynches, were like the founding fathers of Atlanta.
Get out of here.
Five brothers arrived penniless during the potato famine and built an empire.
That's
I
wild.
know.
It's not uncommon, though, you know, for families to keep certain aspects of their past hidden.
I guess so.
Maybe to protect future generations from pain or shame, or even just to maintain a certain image.
You know, it makes you wonder about the stories our own families haven't told us, right? Anyway, he keeps digging into his family history and uncovers even more. One ancestor, Patrick, helped save several churches during Sherman's march to Atlanta.
The Civil War.
Yeah, including the city's oldest, the Immaculate Conception. There are even records of this at the Atlanta History Center. But the most shocking revelation was yet to come,
Okay.
and it came from his own father.
What?
I bet you can't guess what it is.
Knowing this narrative, I'm gonna guess it has something to do with the Che Guevara connection you mentioned earlier.
You got it. His dad drops the bomb. Che Guevara is your cousin. Can you imagine?
Wow, that is
It's
wild.
like, what are the chances?
Seriously. But you know, it's also a testament to how interconnected we all really are.
Why?
It challenges us to consider, like, the vast web of relationships that bind us together across time and geography.
For sure.
It really makes you think.
You're telling me, but this isn't just some distant relative thing. He had actually just seen Chi's face on a t-shirt and felt drawn to it. Then he found Chi's Bolivian diary and randomly opened it to, wait for it, May 16th, his birthday.
No way. Are you serious?
I'm serious. And there's a
Defi
self-portrait in there where they look strikingly similar. So, of course, he does a DNA test and boom, confirmed relatives.
It's like those synchronicities, you know, they can guide us towards a greater understanding of ourselves and our place in the world. Sometimes it's like the universe is trying to tell us something.
100%. And in this case, it seems like the universe was sending him on a crash course with his own destiny.
It's incredible how these like advances in genealogy and DNA analysis are really blowing open these hidden connections and making us rethink who we are and where we come from.
It really is like solving a real-life ancestry mystery. But this discovery, this connection to Che, it's like it awakens something in him.
What do you mean?
Like a pull towards creative expression. This is where his artistic journey begins.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
And it all starts, get this, with him trying to start a band called, are you ready for this? Nebula Tanova.
Okay, Nebula Tanova. Catchy, what kind of music?
We don't know, but it never got off the ground.
It's funny how those, like, perceived failures and setbacks can sometimes put us on the path to something even more fulfilling.
Right. Like, maybe Nebula Tanova was never meant to be, but something else was. And get this, his art form of choice. Abstract photography.
Cool.
But not just any photography. He used rope lights as his, like, paint.
Rope lights? How interesting. There's that unconventional thinking again.
Right. Totally thinking outside the box. But this is where things take, I don't know, a bit of a mystical turn.
Okay.
Remember those near-death experiences I mentioned?
Yeah.
Well, around this time, those memories come flooding back, and he keeps hearing this cryptic voice saying, just call me Father.
Just call me Father. That's a little eerie.
Right. It makes you wonder what you would do if you started having those kinds of experiences.
It's not uncommon for people who have gone through those kinds of profound spiritual experiences to start asking some big questions.
Like, what does it all mean?
Exactly. Identity, purpose, connection to something bigger than ourselves, all of that.
Okay, and it gets even wilder. Picture this.
Yeah.
He's deep in his artistic process, right? Working with these rope lights, and suddenly he sees a glowing red finger.
A glowing red finger. Okay, now we're really getting to mystical territory.
I know, and this finger warns him, says, do not proclaim, do not proclaim.
Oh, whoa.
He interprets it as a sign to keep quiet about his thoughts on this father figure and this potential, you know, Christ-like path.
It's definitely a lot to unpack. I'm personally someone who likes to approach these kinds of accounts with, like, a healthy dose of skepticism.
Of course.
But at the same time, our understanding of consciousness and, like, the nature of reality is always evolving.
That's a really good point.
What we might dismiss as woo-woo today could be scientifically validated tomorrow, right?
Right. It's like that saying, the only constant is change. But this experience with the glowing red finger, whether it was real or not, it sparked a new question for him. How could he perceive the physical world while in a spirit state? To explore this, he developed what he called the quad train technique.
Interesting. So it's like his personal experiences were fueling both his artistic expression and his intellectual inquiry. What is the quad train technique?
Okay. So imagine this. You take one of his abstract photos, already vibrant, multi-layered, and then reflect it four ways.
Okay.
So you have this intricate pattern of light and color, right? And he would layer these reflections with his thoughts and insights.
It sounds like he's trying to, like, create a visual representation of his consciousness.
Yeah.
To make the intangible tangible.
Exactly. And it doesn't stop there. He's actively searching for answers, even pleading with his father figure for guidance. And then in November 2004, he creates a pivotal work called Elohim.
Elohim, what a powerful title.
He believes that artwork holds the key to understanding how we perceive the physical world from a spiritual state.
Again, like, art is a bridge between those realms. That's a theme we keep coming back to.
He was so convinced of this that he reaches out to Monsignor Henry Grass at the Immaculate Conception.
Wait, the church his ancestor helped save?
The one and only. He shares his whole story, the family history, the near-death experiences, the art, everything. Then he poses this hypothetical question. If Christ were to appear today, how long would he survive?
Oh, wow.
I know, right?
It's a really loaded question. Like, how accepting are we, really, of those who challenge the status quo, those with radical ideas?
Exactly. And the Monsignor's response is pretty chilling. He says, 5 minutes, if that.
5 minutes, that's heavy.
Right. But our guy is ready with an answer. He says, then I think I know what Christ would do in those 5 minutes. He would elevate everyone to his level so no one would want to kill him.
Wow, that's powerful. It really makes you think about compassion and understanding as a force for change. Like, true enlightenment isn't about elevating yourself above others. It's about lifting everyone up.
Yes. And he believed that we all possess this Christ consciousness within us, this potential for profound love and connection. But here's where things take a kind of somber turn.
It's this idea that we're all capable of that level of compassion, right? That's what drives him.
Exactly. But as he's leaving, he makes this chilling prediction. He says that if his work is right, something big is going to happen in December.
And this is?
2004, just a few weeks later.
Oh, wow. And we all know what happened that December.
The tsunami in Indonesia.
Devastating.
It really shook him. I mean, can you imagine? He sees it as another sign, another message from this father figure.
It would definitely make you question everything.
And it's during this time that he creates four more montages.
Really pushing his art even further.
He's searching for answers, trying to understand how we can experience the physical world from that spiritual state.
And that leads to the Noel equation, right?
Bingo. This is like the climax of his artistic and spiritual exploration.
Trying to bring it all together. The science, the philosophy, the personal experience.
Okay, so you ready for this? The Noel equation. Deep breath. Hit me. He combines, get this, the logic of Lynch that represents like his birth, life, death,
okay,
with the energy of Einstein, the force of Newton, and the wisdom of Socrates.
It's like he's creating a unified theory of existence, like a grand equation of everything.
And what does it all boil down to? He says it describes a moment of time as infinite.
Whoa, okay, now we're getting existential. So a moment in time, not finite, but infinite. What does that even mean?
Right. It definitely makes you think he felt like this was it, the culmination of his life's work, and he had to share it. He starts by reaching out to musicians who have inspired him, creates these incredible montages using, get this, their signatures.
Where did he get their signature?
From the back of his prints, like old concert ticket stubs and things.
Oh, that's cool. What a unique way to document a journey.
Right. This guy's whole story, his awakening, it really makes you think about the power of self-discovery, especially in the face of challenges.
Absolutely. And while his journey is unique, the themes are universal. That search for meaning, understanding our past, the power of art to help us make sense of it all.
It really makes you wonder what your own journey of awakening would look like, what you might find.
What stories are hidden in our own families, in our own past?
Exactly. And what will it take for us to tap into that creative spark, to embark on our own journeys of self-discovery?